Kovavam at base 3 lines to the bottom of the page, or 26b3. The Gemara is in the middle of a discussion. We learned that you can acquire tangible items through acquiring land. That means if I give you land to acquire, and while you acquire the land, I tell you to acquire movable items. So the Mishnah said you can acquire tangible items through acquiring land. So the Gemara asked a question a page ago. Does the tangible items have to be on the land, or they don't have to be on the land? Okay, and the Gemara was bringing proofs both ways, but the Gemara refuted all the proofs that it's not a proof either way. So the bottom line, we're still in the middle of the discussion. If I'm giving you a Gemara to acquire through land, does the Gemara need to be on the land, or can the Gemara be somewhere else? And nevertheless, by acquiring the land, you acquire the movable items also. So Gemara says like this, Toshma, I'll bring you a proof. There's a story, Ma'aseh b'Rabbi Gamliel v'Zkeinim. There's a story that Rabbi Gamliel and the elders, Shayboim b'Sfina. They were going in a boat. That was very interesting. The Mefarshim explained, B'chlal, not here, in many places, that Rabbi Gamliel was the leader of the Jewish people. So a lot of times they used to go by boat to Rome to try to nullify decrees. It was right after the destruction of the Beis Hamikdash. So to go to Rome to try to nullify decrees. So the Gemara, there's many stories with Rabbi Gamliel on a boat with other scholars. So it says, Ma'aseh b'Rabbi Gamliel v'Zkeinim Shayboim b'Sfina. Rabbi Gamliel and the elders were coming in a boat. And then Rabbi Gamliel realized that he had grain in his house that he didn't tithe. He didn't give Meiser. You have to give 10% to the Levi and this to the Kohen. Anyway, and he didn't do it. And you're not allowed to eat the grain until it's separated. And there's a rule, the Gemara says, there's a rule that a Talmud Chacham never leaves his grain untithed, because then if people eat it, they're going to get a sin because of him. What did you want?
I got the answer. Okay. People cannot eat it until it's
separated.
Yeah, but if there's no separation, it could be like this for 2 years, 6 years.
Yeah, until he's separated, he can't eat it. Okay. So Amalam Gamliel is Kainim. So Ram Gamliel turned to the scholars on the bone. He said like this: Isu Shani Osn Lamud. The 10% that I'm going to give to a Levi, right, Maisi, give to the Levi. Nosen Yeshua, I'm giving to Yeshua. He called by his first name. He was Rabbi Yeshua. Rabbi Yeshua was a Levi. Okay, he was from the singers in the Beis Hamikdash. So he was a Levi. So he said like this, 10% of my grain home that I need to tithe, I'm giving to Yeshua. Now how is he going to acquire it? Mekai me muskulai. I'm renting the place that the Meister is on. So he's renting him the place in Eretz Yisrael where the Meister is on. And through this, he's going to acquire the Meister. V'isr achashani osad lamud. And the second tithe, which is called Meister Oni, you have to give to another 10% to the poor people. Nosen le Akiva ben Yosef. I'm going to give to Akiva ben Yosef. That he should acquire it for the poor people. And Rashi explains that Rabbi Kiva was the Gabi Tzedakah. It wasn't Rabbi Kiva was poor. Rabbi Kiva was in charge of the Tzedakah. So he said like this, 10% for the Levium I'm giving to the Levi, and how is he going to acquire it? I'm renting him the place, he's going to acquire the other 10% I'm giving to Akiva ben Yosef for the poor people. And I'm giving him the place. Now, so what do you see from this case? Rabbi Gamliel said, the place that the grain is on, I'm renting to him. Now, why did he have to say the place where the grain is on? He could rent them any place. What do you see from the story? That Rabbi Gamliel held that the tangible item has to be on the land that you're acquiring. Because that's what he told them. I'm giving you the land that the Meiser is on. Which means that the Meiser, the tangible item, has to be on the land.
The question is, like, can you rent something to somebody without the knowledge?
No. He's on the boat.
Oh, he's on the boat.
Rabbi Yeshua was on the boat. Rabbi Kiva was on the boat.
Okay.
Together with other people. So he said like this. Okay, listen, guys. 10% Meiser for the Levi, I'm giving it Rabbi Yeshua.
Okay.
And I want him to acquire it by, I'm renting him the land that the food is on. Okay?
Got it.
Maybe gave him a dollar.
So it's like a done deal.
Right. Then he acquired it already. So it's his. So now everybody can eat the grain. But he didn't say, I'm renting you a place. He said, I'm renting you the place that the grain is on. Which means, you see, seemingly, that how can you acquire the grain only if it's on the place of the land itself? So the Gemara says, no. From there, there's no proof. Shani Hossam over there is different. You know where Gamliel did it? Not because you need to acquire it that way. They could have acquired it with any land. Okay? But, not to bother Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Yeshua, that as soon as they come home, they're going to have to remove the Meiser right away from wherever it was. Meaning like this, if I give you Meiser, it's yours. That means you're going to feel responsibility that as soon as you come home, you have to go get it right away. Right? He didn't want to bother them like that. He said, you know what? I'm renting you the land that it's on. So it's their land. So they're not going to feel responsible to go right away and take it off. That's why he did it. But as far as acquiring things, how do you know that you need to have it on the land that you're acquiring? Maybe not. So then the Gemara says, what's wrong?
How do you know that you can acquire it on a land that's not around
you? Well, we don't have a proof. Obviously, they acquired it. So
is it that you need to or that you could?
You could.
Right.
Okay, Toshma, come up. What?
Why are they called here Akiva ben Yosef? Usually it's Rabbi Akiva.
That's the way he was known, Akiva ben Yosef. Always in the Gemara, they called him Akiva ben Yosef.
Yeah. Most of the time it's Rabbi Akiva, no?
Yeah, but Rabbi Gamliel was older than them. He was an older colleague. He's not going to call Yeshua Rabbi Yeshua, he's called by his first name. Or Akiva ben Yosef. Maybe he wanted to mention his father because he was a convert and his chus, whatever, I don't know.
His father was a convert.
Yosef
was a ger.
Yeah. Rambam writes that Akiva ben Yosef was a ger. Yosef was a ger. Tosis over here asks a very interesting question. There was a din, even though Meiser, the 10% belongs to the Levium, but Ezra fined the Levium that they don't get it anymore. The Gemara says in Yevamos that when the Jews, normally Torah says you give Kohen Truma, then you give Bikur Mosa, then you give 10% to the Levi, and then another 10% to the poor, or to Eretz Yisrael, whatever, or take it to Eretz Yisrael, so on. So Gemara says like this, that when the Jews, Ezra went up to build the second Beis Hamikdash, most of the Levium refused to go back with him. They said it's good and bubble. I think that today is a problem. Even then, the Jews wanted to stay in Golos. So Ezra, the Gemara says, fined the Levium, and he took it away from them, and he said you have to give the 10% to the Kohanim instead.
Permanently?
Yeah, well, yeah. Now, the question is, how is Ram Gamliel giving his Maisa to Rabbi Yeshua as a Levi when you're not allowed to give it to the Levi anymore? Why is he giving it to the Levi? So Taisa says like this, Ram Gamliel held, Ezra did not find the Levium. There's an argument in the Gemara, did he or didn't he? So obviously the fact that Ram Gamliel gave the 10% of the Levi shows that he holds that Ezra didn't find the Levium. And then he says, secondly, Rabbi Yeshua was a poor man. Rabbi Yeshua was a poor man. Because he brings down the Gemara, he says that from the Rabbi Yeshua was very poor, his walls were black from smoke. That means he didn't have money to clean it, and he was in poverty. So Tosis asks, so if Rabbi Yeshua was poor, and that's why he gave him the Meiser of the Levium, he gave to him because he was poor, so why did he have to give the second one to Rabbi Kiva? He could have given everything to Rabbi Yeshua. The regular Meiser and the Meiser only. So Tosis says he wanted to spread it out amongst more people.
Okay, approved. Something that Hashem instituted in Torah. I'm finding them, I'm taking it off from them. Isn't that kind of serious?
No, that's a completely different thing here. The way is like this. Truma has holiness to it. Okay, what do you give truma to the Kohen? A regular Yisrael is not allowed to eat truma. Because there's holiness for a Kohen. The Maisa that you give a Levi is just financial. It has nothing to do with any holiness. In other words, the Torah says the Levium work in the Beis HaMikdash. So how did they get fed? They're not in business. Everybody else was in business, right? Agriculture. The Levium didn't work. They were not allowed to own land. So how did the Levium and Kohanim get supported? So Hashem said, the Kohanim get the Korbanos and this and this and this and this, and the Levium get the Maisa, right? But it was a financial gift from Hashem to the Levium for working in the Beis HaMikdash. That Beis Din has a right, financially, to say, listen, you're not going back to work in the Beis HaMikdash, you're not getting it.
He's not doing the work.
Right, that's what I'm saying. So he had a right to find them. They can't, you can make a condition in Torah law in financial things. You cannot make a condition against Torah in other things. That you can't do. So the Ezra had a right to find the Levium. He said, listen, the Torah gave you a payment. You didn't work on that. That's what I'm saying. You're not getting it. Well, the ones that went up, some of them did.
But even if, the example of the shofar, if it's a positive commandment, they have the right to put gedarim against it.
Yeah, but here they're saying you have to give it to the kohen. They can't always do it. Here they're telling you to give it to somebody else. It's not like shofar. It's different. Rabbi Shua ben Chananya. Ashri Eladutai, the five Talmidim of Rabbi Yechim and Zakei, Rabbi Yeshua. In fact, Rashi brings on over here that Rabbi Yeshua, Rabbi Chanin, that was the name, went to help Rabbi Yechim and Ben Gudgoda locking the doors. So he said to him, you get out of here, you're at the singers, and I'm the doorman. And the Levim were not allowed to interchange jobs. If you were a singer, you had to be a singer. If you took care of the door, you had to take care of the door. You couldn't switch jobs. So Rabbi Yeshua once wanted to help us at Rabbi Yechman Gudgoda, whatever his name was.
Wasn't Rabbi Kiva very rich?
Rabbi Kiva? Yeah, but here he was for, Kabbalah disowned him.
No, but then he gave him half of his food, money.
Yeah, but Lepoil, he was a Gabi Tzedok, it says, not poor person. Okay. Tosh, what? Today we don't know who's the Kohen, who's the Levi, so they throw it out.
My
six seven, give to me. Tashma. No, Shmita's Ksofim is the Bon Bismanism. Tashma, that's Minatayla. Tashma, the Amir of Rabbi Yitzchok Amirav. Says like this. So we still don't have a proof if you need the metautalin, the tangible things to be on the land or not. So it says, the Amir of Rabbi Yitzchok Amirav, Shnei Shtarisim, there's two types of laws pertaining to a sale. Zocha besadu zula pleini. What happens if a guy says like this? He says to two people, an owner of a field says to two people, Zocha besadu zula pleini. Take possession of this field for Yankel. Vekotzer leishtat, and draft a document for him. Chayzer beshtar, he can take back the document, and he can't retract the field. Meaning like this. He comes over to two people, witnesses, two people, and he says, listen, take this field, I want to give it over to Yankel. I give him a gift. Okay, so I'm telling you to do two things. Number one, take possession of the field, which means, do a chazak in the field. Well, then one of the ways you acquire land is if you do something to the field. Okay, so he's telling to them, do it for Yankel. Yankel's not here, he doesn't even know about it. He says, take possession of the land and write him a shtar. Write him a document that I gave it to him. So he told him to do two things. Get the field for him, acquire it for him, and then write a document, your two witnesses sign the document that I gave him the field. Then he says, you know what? I changed my mind. After they took possession, but they didn't write the document yet, he says, I changed my mind. So the Gemara says, this Braisa says, he could change his mind about the document, but the actual acquisition was done already, it's too late. I can't change my mind after you acquire it. They acquired it for Yankel, so it's like Yankel did it. What happens, what happens if he says, take possession of the field on the condition that you write the document, then then you could regret, change your mind both. Because until the document was written, the condition wasn't met. Okay? So Rabbi Yitzchok says, there's two types of document, two cases of documents. One is you tell the guys, acquire the land and write a document. So once they acquire the land, he could change his mind for the document, but not for the land. But if he says, take possession of the land and write the document, no, and the condition that you write the document, as long as the condition wasn't met, he can change it. 1 second. Then Rav Chiya bar Abba Amar Rav Huna Sholish Torah same. I have a third case of a document. The two we just said, Treda Amoron, and the third one is like this. In Kodam Meicher, what happens if a seller wrote the document for Kaisav Leishtar and wrote a document before the field was sold? Like it says, I'll explain this whole thing in a second. Case in Shtar Lemeicher, you're allowed to write a document for a seller, meaning the seller's request, Alpha Pishen Lekech Imei, even though the buyer is not there. There's a halacha like this. You can mess yourself up, but you can't mess somebody else up. Okay? If I say, the examples are like this. I'm a lender, you're the borrower. Okay? You can come to Beis Din and say, listen, I want to borrow money from me, write a document that I'm borrowing money. Beis Din will write the document. Why not? If anything, you're going to get messed up because there's a document that says you owe me money. Right? So if you say to Beis Din, I want you, the court, to write a document for me that I am going to borrow money from him. Beis Din says, okay, we'll write the document, no problem. You lose the document, you got problems, because if the lender finds it, he can go collect the money. Because he has a document that you owe money. Okay? But if the lender comes and says to Beis Din, I want you to write a document that I'm lending you money. Beis Din is not going to write it. Because maybe the loan will never happen. Right? How can I write a loan that I'm lending you money? Right? The borrower can get messed up. The same thing applies like this. If a seller comes to court, to Beis Din, it says, I want you to write a document that I sold you the field. Beis Din will write it. Because the seller is going to mess himself up, if anything. Nobody else is going to get messed up. Right? If I, the seller, says to Beis Din, write a document that I'm selling you the field, Beis Din says, you want to write? You're crazy, but we'll write it for you. What happens if the buyer says, no, that I bought a field? You can't write a document that the buyer bought a field without the seller there. The buyer's going to come with a document. Hey, you sold me the field. You can't do that. Okay? So there's a din that you write a document for the meicher, for the seller, even though the buyer is not there. That's halacha. If a guy comes to bed and says, you know what? I'm planning to sell a field. Do me a favor. Write up the document, the selling document, and get it ready to go. So the din is like this. What happens before the seller went and wrote a document? So then it says, Kivin shehichzik ime bekarka, once the buyer takes possession of the land, he automatically acquires the document.
Acquires the document?
Yeah. Through acquiring the land, he gets the document. Now listen to this din. The seller says, there's a third case of shtar. A seller comes to Beis Din and says, write me a document that I'm selling you the land. And then you go ahead, with my permission, and acquire the land. you automatically acquired the shtar. I cannot change my mindset. No, I don't want to give you proof. Why? Because through the land, you acquire the tangible items. Through the land, you acquire the document. Right?
What was the lesson? One more time? I'm sorry. Go tell him that I'm going to sell him the land.
Write a document. Don't tell him. Write a document that I'm selling him the land. And then I tell the guy, go acquire the land. And he acquires the land. He does a chazok in the land.
You, the shliach, says. The shliach says this.
There's no shliach over here. I write a document that I'm selling you. I don't give you anything. I write a document that I'm giving you. I'm selling you the land. Okay. Then I go to tell you, go acquire the land. There's no shliach here. Go acquire the land. And you acquire the land. You automatically acquire the document. And I cannot come along and say, listen, I don't want to give you the document anymore. I don't want you to have proof.
Was the document ready?
Yeah.
Before he said it?
Yeah.
Why? Because,
because through land, you acquire tangible items. Now, is the document on the land?
What if it wasn't? What if it was in his home? In the home of the seller?
But he's not giving him that land. He's selling him something else. Let's see it inside now. Kivin shehichzikim bekarka. Once he acquired the land, nikna shtar b'chol mokim shehu. The shtar can be acquired anywhere the document is, right? So shma mino lo be'in et ziburim. So you see from there that the tangible stuff does not need to be on the land.
No, the shtar is not on the land. Nikna bishtar.
The kinyan here is not shtar. The kinyan here is not the document. He did the kinyan with chazaka. The shtar is a plain piece of metaltolin.
Where is the limitation?
Huh?
Any metaltolin that's owned by the seller becomes acquired by the buyer because he bought the land?
No, but he wrote the document for him too. So he acquired it. He can't change his mind.
Can I ask you a question about the first scenario?
Yeah.
The first scenario says that you, regardless of the document, you're going to own this land because I'm giving it to you. Why does it say... On top of that, write the document. See what I'm saying?
You need to prove. Well, how are you going to prove that I gave it to you?
But we learned that even without the document, it was his.
Yeah.
Because it wasn't Talib.
But is he getting the document or not?
Oh, so owning it is different than having it proof.
You better believe it.
But the fact that he...
One sec.
It's more bullet. It's more...
If I sell you land, okay, if I lend you $1,000... And there's no note. Did the loan happen?
Yeah.
What is the purpose of the note? To make the loan happen? To make it happen?
No, to prove it.
Or to prove it?
Make it recover.
Okay. So now, what happens if I give you the loan, but I don't write a document? So the loan happened. There's no proof. Therefore, if you deny it later, the guy will have problems. Right? Now, if I sell you land, and I tell you how to acquire the land, but I want to give you a document to prove it. And then I change my mind and say, I'm not giving you the document. So as long as you did not acquire the document, I could change my mind. Once you acquired the document, I can't change my mind, because it's yours.
Why do we say the third scenario is different than the first scenario? So you should acquire the document also, because he's acquiring the land.
No, but he did make it on the condition.
Well, you have to make that condition.
Right.
It's not automatic.
No.
Even if the shtar was ready before you did the exchange.
It doesn't matter because he said, give him the land and write a document. So it's two different things.
As opposed to the third
The third case is he wrote the document before. So the document is there already. It's existing.
And then he says, what's the lashon?
And then he says, acquire the land. And the guy acquired the land. So because the Gemara is going to explain in a second to refute the proof, the bottom line is that this monetary, tangible item is automatically acquired to him through the land. You can't change your mind. You can only change your mind before the acquisition was done. Once the acquisition was done, you cannot change your mind. If I sell you something and you buy it, and after you buy it, I say, I changed my mind, tough luck. Unless everybody agrees.
You can't say that the difference teaches us for all the cases.
What's that? We're not done yet.
So sorry. The difference between the first scenario and the third scenario
it's completely different scenarios. One is about doing something for somebody else, acquiring land for somebody else, and here the guy's talking straight to the buyer. It's two different cases.
Okay.
completely different cases.
So in the first case, if the shtar was ready, even if
it doesn't matter,
no, because it was through somebody else giving the land.
Right. You can't change your mind after something is acquired. Before it's acquired, I could change my mind. We learned that the whole time in the Gemara, right? If I say I'm going to sell you something, and you didn't pick it up, you didn't acquire it, I could change my mind. And you could change your mind, correct? Once you acquire it, you can't change your mind unless if everybody agrees to it. Then you can sell it back, or give it back, or whatever, right? Once, the Gemara's proof over here is that here the guy acquired the document because he acquired the land. Even though, obviously, the document was not on the land. So the Gemara's question is, does some tangible items have to be on the land or not? Right? From here you see that the guy automatically acquired the document through acquiring the land. So you see, obviously, it doesn't have to be on the land. So the Gemara says, its document is different. Why is it different? The Gemara thinks now, Dafsira the Adahu. It's like the halter of the land, like a halter on the animal, meaning it's actually part of the animal. The halter is part of the animal. So when you acquire the animal, you acquire the halter. You acquire the land, you automatically acquire the shtar. So therefore, the Gemara says it's different because here it's considered as if the document is on the land. So the Gemara right away refutes it. And the Gemara says like this. But we learned, Zuhi Shashaninu. This is exactly what the din is. Continuing in that braisa. Nechosim Shem Manachrayis. Movable property could be acquired together with property that is chazaka, meaning land. Bekesef shtar of chazaka. Meaning, the Gemara, the Mishnah says clearly this is a kinyan of agav. It's not a part of the land. The Mishnah Braisa says clearly, how are you acquiring the document? Through acquiring the land, you acquire the document also. But not because it's an extension of the land. The Gemara says clearly this kinyan is done only because you acquire the land. Through the land, you acquire the tangible item. And the Gemara Taka says, Shema Mino, this is the bottom line. The Gemara says this is the only valid proof that we have. And the Gemara validates the proof. Meaning, according to the conclusion of the Gemara, if I want to acquire something from you, tangible items, and I acquire land, by acquiring the land, I could acquire the tangible item, even if it's not on the land.
As long as it's shaykh to the land?
As long as I give you permission to acquire. No, it doesn't have to be shaykh to the land.
Has it written on the shtar?
No. No, there's not even a shtar in there. We're not talking about shtar again. By acquiring land, if I say to you, I'm giving you land and a bottle of soda. Okay, that's the first thing I see. Bottle of soda. I say to you, I'm selling you an acre of land and a bottle of soda. As soon as you acquire the acre of land, you automatically acquire the soda. Even the outcome of the Gemara is, even if the soda is not on the land. Yes, because it's called agav karka, through the land, you acquire secondary things, which is called tangible items, whether it's on the land or not.
Now, what if you don't mention the bottle of soda, or let's say you say the bottle of soda, but that bottle of soda requires a special tool to open it.
Doesn't matter.
That tool is not on the property, so that...
You acquire it anyway.
That tool that...
Not the tool. Not the tool, just the
not
soda.
The tool.
You don't get the can opener.
You don't get the can opener.
The can only, opener
no, I'm not giving you the can opener.
So
it doesn't mean
the
can opener.
No. No, I understand what you're saying. No,
let's
you don't.
Say, let's say it's a TV and it has a remote control, and the remote control is not on the property. So you.
If I don't tell you, I'm selling you the remote, according to Halacha. There's a whole Gemara in Bava Basra, a whole parak of Gemara about this. Rabbi Kiva, the Chachamim. If I sell you a television, I say to you,
you send me the property, the TV is on it.
Yeah, only the TV.
The TV I'm going to give you.
Only not the remote.
The remote doesn't.
No, happen. I'll give you even more. What happens if I say to you, I'm going to sell you the TV?
Uh-huh.
Yeah? And you pick up the TV, because you can't acquire tangible items only through money. You pick up the TV. And then you say, hey, where's the remote? And I say, I didn't sell you the remote. It's not sold. I didn't sell you the remote, I sold you the TV.
The second scenario is also true.
In fact, there's a famous argument in the Gemara, there's a big argument in the Mishnah in the fifth parak of Bava Basra, between Rabbi Kiva and the Chachamim. I own land all around. Yeah? This is my land. And I sell you a piece of land in the middle. Okay? This is my land. The Gemara is my land, the whole thing. It's 100 acres. And I say to you, you know what? In the middle of the property, I'm selling you an acre of land. Okay? That's what I said. No more. And you acquire the land. Then you say, 1 minute. And you have to give me a path to the road.
The easement,
whatever you call it. Yeah, Westman, Eastman. You give it, the guy says, hey. Says a machlekes between Rabbi Kiva and the Chachamim. If you sell with a good eye, or you don't sell with a good eye. One opinion says, "Kol ameicher ba'ayin yofa meicher." That's what Rabbi Kiva holds. You sell with a good eye. So obviously, if I sell you this, how are you going to get there? Helicopter. So obviously, I'm selling you a piece of land. I mean, a thin strip to walk. And the other opinion says, "Yeah, fine." The other opinion says, I didn't sell you the land. I sold you the land in the middle. How are you going to get that? That's your problem. You want to buy? Pay me another. But if I sell you a car, I can't. No, I didn't mean the tires.
Yeah.
No. This is halacha.
Television don't work without the remote.
But a remote is not tires of a car.
You have a remote choice of enjoying that.
If the TV cannot work without the remote, maybe then it's included. But you can work without the remote. If you can, then for sure. So who's selling you the remote? No. I thought it was like a halter part of the animal. Okay. What? No, it's direct. Yeah.
Only the first scenario was.
Yeah.
You mind to the definition of tangible items? Isn't
it
supposed to have some value?
Metaltala means anything not connected to the ground. Not ground or anything connected to the ground is land. Or avodim is also land. That the word comes out from a pasuk.
Slaves.
But everything else, it's either tangible or not. This table is tangible. The floor is tangible. The floor is permanent.
But Rabbi, if you don't designate that something that's not on the land is going to be his, then it doesn't become his, right? It's only if you tell him in advance.
Correct. Okay. Correct. If I sell you the land, I don't mean... Unless if I say the land and everything in it. Or on it. No, if I sell you a house, and I'm selling you the house, I don't mean all the furniture in it.
Oh.
Unless if I say I'm selling you the house and everything in it. If I say everything in it, then it includes the furniture. Oh. But if not, I'm not selling the furniture is not the house. But anything connected to the ground, halachically, has a din of land.
Doors, windows.
Doors, yeah. I can't say, I'm selling you the house, but I don't mean the doors.
Oh.
No, the doors are connected to the ground. They have a din of the house.
In America, even the lamps.
Yeah, anything connected to, even picture, things connected to.
They can't learn out from that last part about the star.
They do learn out from the last part. They learn out from the last part. From the Brisa, they learn out that you don't need it to be on the land, regardless it's there. Okay, now the Gemara says like this. Yibar lehu. Mi be'inyan agav, does the seller have to say, I'm giving it to you agav through the land, or in English called by the dint of the land, or not?
Leave one over here.
May the mixes. In other words, if I want to sell you something through Agav, does it have to be by me telling you clearly, or do I need to say clearly that I'm selling it to you through the land?
What is Agav?
Through, by in English, it's called Dintav, meaning through the land. So it says, Toshma kam, diktani kolhani, in all the cases of transfer of movable land, it says, Kol Hane Veloktoni Agav. It says in the Braisa that was mentioned before, okay, earlier that we mentioned, in all these cases, the Braisa just said, all of these things are acquired. Acquire all these things. And nowhere in any of the braises did the guy clearly say the word agav, through the land. So you obviously see, even if you didn't say clearly, acquire it through the land. In other words, like this. The Gemara's question is like this. If I say to you, I'm selling you the land and the soda, do I need to say the soda you acquire through the land, and then you acquire the soda? Or do I say, no, the fact I'm telling you acquire the land and the soda, as soon as you acquire the land, you get the soda, even if I didn't say through the land you acquire the soda. So the Gemara says, before all the braises that we're talking about, he said, acquire it, and he didn't say through the land. And yet all the cases we mentioned before in the last two pages, the Gemara said you acquire it. So he said, like, Tameich. So I'll ask you back the typical Jewish question. Does it say in any of these braises that he told him to acquire it? He didn't even tell him in any of these braises, any of the laws before, doesn't even use the expression, he told him to acquire the land. What does it mean? It's obvious that he said, acquire the land. So then it's obvious that he said, agav, through the land. You know, you can't bring a proof on the previous laws, because the previous laws are very vague anyway. It doesn't say any one of those cases acquire the land. Or acquire the metaltal, either one of them. It's understood. Hachanami ad am agav. So it's understood that the guy said agav. One second, let me just finish. The Gemara concludes, the Hilchasa, the Halacha is like this. Tziburim le'be'inan, you don't need the movable items to be on top of the land. Agav uknei be'inan, but he does need to say, acquire it through the land. Yeah, that's what the Gemara's conclusion is.
He has to say agav,
but he doesn't have to have the tangible items on the land itself. It could be anywhere.
I thought we just said he doesn't have to say
it. No, the Gemara's conclusion, Gemara's ruling now, the bottom line ruling is, you need to say it, but you don't need the tangible items on the land. What?
Is the argument whether you have to
not argument,
like
the Shaila.
The Shaila.
It's not argument, it's a question.
The clarification in the Lashon is whether you have to sit Igav, or it's a situation where you want to sell the land, and you also want to sell Metaltalin, and you want
to
make
it... I told you the case is, I say to you, I'm selling you the land and the soda. Or I'm giving you the land and the soda.
It's not Chal.
So the question is, do you acquire the soda automatically by acquiring the land? Or must they tell you, acquire the soda through the land?
Or have an extra deal or shayla.
Right, without what I'm talking about. The question is, are you acquiring the soda through the... So the Gemara says the outcome of the Gemara is, you need to say clearly, acquire the soda through the land.
So in other words, it's not assumed that that's what he meant.
That's why Rabbi Gamliel told Rabbi Yeshua and Rabbi Akiva, he said to them, acquire the Meiser, and the place is rented to you to acquire the Meiser and the other thing.
Why was the original having in it that it's sufficient, that if you buy land that something else could be dealt with?
Because I'm telling you the same statement, I'm saying, acquire the land and soda.
Taki, why shouldn't it work?
Because, Lapel, soda is not acquired normally through this method, unless if you say you wanted to acquire. Maybe I want you to make a separate kinyan on the soda.
What if the guy just wants
you
land
said
because he wants it?
what if you said acquire the shoes and the soda to Metaltalin?
Then you can't. You need a separate kinyan. One second. No, let me bring out this point. If I say, I want to sell you soda and shoes, and you acquire the soda, you did not acquire the shoes.
You need a separate statement.
You need a separate kinyan. If I say to you, I want you, I'm giving you a present. I'm giving you a present, soda and shoes.
And
you only pick up the bottle of soda, you did not acquire the shoes. I could change my mind and say, you know what, forget the shoes. The soda you picked up already, it's too late. but you nobody's going to say, through the soda, you acquired the shoes. Because you can't acquire metautalin through metautalin. No, even more. There's two bottles of soda.
Wait, so,
tangible items. If I say to you, I'm giving you these two bottles of soda. They're yours. And you pick up the Sprite, but not the Coke.
They're both yours.
No, the Sprite is yours, not the Coke. Because you have to pick up the Coke. You can't acquire the Coke by picking up the Sprite because it's two tangible items. They need a separate kinyan. So if you picked up the Sprite to acquire it, and I told you to, so I can't change my mind about the Sprite. But I could say, forget the Coke, I want it.
So the only exception is the land.
Through land, we learn out that through land, you can acquire tangible items. But if I say to you the outcome of the Gemara is that I want you to acquire the land and the soda through the land, the second you acquire the land, the soda is acquired, you cannot change your mind.
Right. Just, to go back a few lessons, something that's too heavy to pick up.
So you pull it, you drag it, whatever.
I feel an elephant.
You make it move.
The Gemara was suggesting that you could acquire an elephant through agav karka.
Yeah.
Can you acquire it because you have a good excuse? You can't move the elephant. Can you acquire the elephant, which is a heavy metautalin, through a
metautalin? Metautalin is metautalin.
Because if you want to acquire the elephant, you're not buying a land from the person.
So you make the elephant walk 6 feet. You're carrying the elephant.
A big
truck. Can we go back to the boat?
We don't.
The boat that Rav Gamliel was on, and he's selling something in his house without the knowledge of his household.
It's his house.
I know, but they're going to be eaten from it. And when he goes,
That's why he gave them the miser that they should be able to eat the rest of the stuff.
But nobody separated it.
But miser, if they eat, is not a big sin. Like I said before, Truma, only a Kohen could eat. Okay? What happens if he said the Maisa? That's why he's not talking about Truma at all, because Truma, he was able to do just an evaluation, 1, 2, 3, B'machshava, whatever. But what happens, Taka, in the case of Ram Gamliel with the Skenim? What happens if Ram Gamliel said, okay, the 10% is to Yeshua, the other 10% is to Rabbi Kiva, right? And by mistake, the family ate the wrong stuff. Now, there's two issues over here. By giving maaser, by tithing it, all the food in the house is now allowed to be eaten.
Including the tithe?
By the levy, though. That's a personal property of the levy. But by separating the maaser, all the grain in the house could be eaten. Before the maaser was separated, before he tithed, you're not allowed to eat the grain. Right? Now, but there's two things. Unlike Truma, Truma becomes holy that Yisrael is not allowed to eat it. Not only is it Kohen's physical property, it has sanctity to it. Maaser is a Levi's property, but there's no sanctity. If a Levi wants, he can give every Yisrael in the city his Maaser to eat. A Kohen can't do that with Truma. Truma can only be Mayakain, okay? So what's the worst crime over here? By mistake, they ate Rabbi Yeshua's food. So they'll come back, they'll pay him back. They didn't know it was his food, right? So what's the worst crime they did? They ate Rabbi Yeshua's food without permission. So they'll give him other truma. But meanwhile, everything in the house was allowed to be eaten. So that's what Rabbi Gamliel accomplished. Otherwise, his whole household, and he had a big household, because he had servants, and he was the head of the Jewish people. So, they would be eating forbidden food. But you couldn't, with Truma, it's a much more dangerous thing. Because Truma, Azar, you saw that East Truma is Chayiv Mises. That's kept. Mila is when you miss your Segdish. Azar, that East Truma is Chayiv Mises B'dei Shemayim. Okay. Let's start Iboilu. This is a very interesting shaila.
By the way, Rabbi, when he says that to give it to the Kohen, I know the Kohen is obligated to take it, and there is no answer is required from the Kohen that I accept?
No. When he takes it, he accepts it. No, not only that,
he's on the boat. He says
there was no kohen on the boat. He didn't do with kohen. The kohen he took care of before he left. Oh. That's why it's only a levi and the ani. Let's see, when a person has grain, okay, before the separations were done for the kohenim and levium, the food is not allowed to be eaten. Okay, now you separate. Just by separating it, even if I didn't give it to the kohen yet, just by separating it, all the grain in the house could be eaten. Now I have to give this truma to the kohen. So I have to find the kohen and give it to him. But as far as right now, everything in the house is kosher to be eaten. In fact, it belongs technically to a kohen. Okay? So what happens if he's a kohen, which he's not, but let's say he's a kohen, yeah, and I always give truma to him. My truma, I give to him. I can give it to any kohen I want, right? I can give it to any kohen I want. So I want to give it to him. But you're also a kohen. So I separated truma. Now it's not mine. Truma belongs to a kohen. And you come, you're also a kohen. You come to my house and grab away the truma. You didn't steal from anybody.
Because it was yours.
Because it's yours. It's Kohen's. Okay. The Torah gives me the privilege to give it to the Kohen of my choice. But it belongs to the Kohanim.
So what did you do by grabbing
it? 1 minute. It belongs to the Kohanim. Okay? It belongs to the Kohen. It doesn't belong to me anymore. I designated it for the Kohanim. So even though I always give it to him, the din is as follows. If you come and take it, I cannot take it back from you. You didn't steal it. It's yours. You're a kohen. You got it. What you do have to pay me is, there's an argument in the Gemara, if it's called Tevas Hanah, the privilege to give it to the kohen of my choice, is that worth money or not? So there's an argument in the Gemara, if that's called money or not. So let's say I have $100 of truma that I have to give away to the kohen. How much is the privilege, how much value is the privilege that I have to give it to the kohen of my choice? Let's say, so there's an argument, is it money or is it not money? Okay? Let's say it's money and it's $5. It's obviously not $100, right? No, the privilege, the kohen, this woman's worth $100. The privilege that I have to give it to the kohen, my choice, let's say is worth $5. So what happens? You took $100 of truma from me. Worst scenario, you'll have to give me $5. But like this, you got $100 worth of truma on a big sale for $5.
It's not okay. Is it okay? This is okay.
It's halachically, it's not stealing. It's a kohen's. The only reason it's yours is because I have a right to give it to you.
Try to get money from him.
Who?
It's not very classy, but that's it. That's all.
No, if you hold Tevas Hanah, so Machlek is an argument in the Gemara. If you hold Tevas Hanah is money, the guy would have to pay back that money for Tevas Hanah.
That's all.
That's it. But the truma he keeps.
Wrong.
No.
Well, anyway,
maybe,
soon
you're
going to be
kind.
So maybe he should be...
Next thing you know, that's chaos.
Grabbing it. You want to make sure he doesn't...
But the Torah says it does not mind...
Mess up the carbon later on?
No, nothing. What?
In this situation, all the Kohens are same level?
Yep.
All the Kohens are what?
Same level.
Also Kohen
level? Yeah.
Isn't it all you live in your shalom?